This was a week packed with Q4 corporate earnings reports. Investors continue monitoring those reports while, up to now, stocks generally have been disregarding bad economic news. Our chief equity strategist and economist, John Blank, is here to give us some more perspective on all of that. John, how long can the market go on ignoring bad economic news?
As long as it wants to, Terry. As long as it wants to.
So as Wall Street analysts have been revising estimates to the downside and stocks price in earnings declines well before they are reported, had stocks already priced in more earnings erosion? And if so, by what percentage?
Yeah, I think it has. I'll give you the latest numbers here on January the 25th from our research director for 96 S&P 500 companies. So 20% of the companies that have reported results, earnings are down 6% from last year, but on 5.5% higher revenues. And 72% are now beating earnings estimates, 68% beating revenue estimates. So basically, those are lower beat rates than normal. And apparently, the market is selling both the good news and the bad news. Obviously, some of the bad news more than the good news. But it's generally been not well received. I think people are basically too worried about the Fed and the potential for more earnings erosion ahead.
Do you expect weaker corporate guidance to put more downward pressure on the market?
That's it. You've hit the nail on the head. I think that's what the market's worried about, the guidance. And then more specifically, the focus on the time frame of the guidance, the second half 2023 or 2024. One of the things that the market's trying to price in right now is 2024. Even though you're in 2023 and you just got here, markets look ahead and 2024 starts to matter right now.
So then, safe to say the market is climbing a wall of worry right now?
Yes, it is. But by the way, the 12-month look ahead, Wall Street consensus is 4,500 on the S&P. I personally have 4,180. So the stock market at 4,000 on my estimate is a 5% return this year. And on the broader estimates, it's closer to 15. That's really not, that's the other thing the market can do here is it can buy in before the downturn. The downturn happens and it can keep on rolling forward because it's looking over it.
Tech stocks had opened this new year with a little bit of an uptrend. How will the results from the mega cap tech stocks out this week test that trend?
Well, here's the thing, Terry. We've got to stop thinking about them as being these static entities. Apple is the leader now. And some of the bottom feeders, Netflix and Facebook might start getting a bid because they've been beaten down so much. So I really think, it's going to go into a more mega stock specific decision-making where we got to pay attention to the given an individual company stories.
History shows, though, that stocks are more apt to rise in years when corporate earnings fall. Do you see that happening this year, or is it still too soon to tell?
I do see that happening this year because this is exactly what happens. Markets price ahead. All the results that are bad are priced in, and the market's out in 2024, like I talked about.
So the market has been fairly resilient so far this year, but you posed the question earlier this week in one of your global market commentaries, whether we've seen the end of bear market rallies. Why might that be the case?
Well, we keep getting up to the 200-day moving average on the S&P 500, Terry, and if we get above that and stay above that, that's the bullish tell on technicals.
How might this debt ceiling issue impact the markets?
Terry, obviously, you can create a scenario of a debt default at the federal level and spook the bond markets. Nobody really believes this is going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen. But, this is the usual black swan call for those who believe in these things. The basic problem with that is you've got to figure out the Speaker of the House, the new Speaker of the House, is going to get his fair share of calls from Wall Street when the bond market collapses, when he does a debt ceiling denial.
There are two major European fashion cosmetic stocks on your number one list this week. They're LVMH, Moët Hennessy, Louis Vuitton, that's a long name, and L'Oreal, and then there's also Alibaba.
Right. Okay. LVMH, Moët Hennessy, Louis Vuitton. This is actually tied to the guy who is now the richest person in the world, post Elon Musk. ZX ranked number one and A for growth. So whether you think the European consumer is dead, I will tell you the European luxury consumer is certainly not dead. And that does speak to more strength in Europe than people realize, amongst the consumers at least. L'Oreal, again, number one ranked stock with an A for growth. This is more in the cosmetic space, obviously more global in nature. But again, this is an example of the consumer holding up quite well. And then Alibaba, of course, the classic Chinese stock, it's not 120 a share. It was as low as 70 bucks a share back in November, even 65. So you doubled your money here, and it's probably going to leave even more to go because of the opening story in China. It's actually ranked number one, but a D for growth. Kind of interesting to think the market is yet to not to believe that, that Alibaba is done growing. I probably think that that's due for an upgrade too.
Okay, our chief equity strategist and economist, John Blank, with the market picture. With John, I'm Terry Ruffalo. Here's something you might want to check out. Just released, five stocks set to double, where Zacks experts announced their single favorite pick with the potential to gain 100% and more in the months ahead. You can download the private special report that names these stocks and spotlights why their upside is so exceptional when you go to Zacks.com/promo for details.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.